Our Bible reading today is taken from Acts chapter 1, verse 1. This will be on the screen behind me, and it's on page 882 in the Pew Bibles. Now, good, thanks. In the first verse, the writer refers to his former book. This means the Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
Hello again. It would be great if you keep Acts chapter 1 open. We'll be referring to that passage as we go through today and consider mission. But we're going to need God's help to understand his word and to inspire us to continue on in the mission that he has set for us. So why don't I pray as we come and take a look at that together. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for all that it is done, all that it is that you have done through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we ask now that as we consider his mission, the mission that he set the disciples, the mission that he sets all disciples, and so that includes us, that we might remember that it is his mission, that he is the King, that we are his people that are called to witness to the wonderful gospel, that the whole world needs to hear this, and that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that. And I just pray that as we come and consider this today, it does help us think about May Mission Month, but it also helps us to really work out how it is that we are a part of this mission in our everyday movements, and that we might consider how we can better serve our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, you may not be aware of this, but there has been a mission, it seems, everyone has bought into this month. It is a mission to save the entire universe, and it is going to continue all through this month of May, I think. It is a mission that pulls a team together, a people together. All nations seem to unite to avenge. Yeah, you know where this is going, some of you anyway. People have bought into this mission so much so that in less than 2 weeks, Avengers Endgame has taken almost $2 billion worldwide. It'll very, very quickly become the number one, beating Avatar. And we all thought that 1 billion euro to rebuild Notre Dame was a lot of money. This is a movie. But it is a mission that it seems everybody's bought into, excited about. You'd think it's one of the greatest things that's ever happened to humanity. It's a movie. And there is a far, far, far greater mission at hand. And that's why it's so important that during the May Mission Month, we launch this thing and consider again why we do this. And Acts 1, what we've just read then, helps us do that. Because it's where Jesus commissions his disciples. Just before he ascends, he prepares to send them out. Before he goes, he makes sure they are ready to continue his mission, because really that's what the book of Acts is about, the continuing mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is this important? Why should we focus on this? Well, because we continue this same mission. And May Mission Month is a great time for us to stop and get that reminder. And in a way, a commission to support the work of the kingdom and to join in the work of the kingdom. Acts 1 gives us insight into what Jesus spoke about. For the 40 days he had with his disciples before he ascended, it helps us to understand the mission of the kingdom. And what we're going to see today, I hope we see today, is that there is a king, there is the people, the place, and the power, as we look at what it is that Jesus says about this mission of the kingdom of God. And so just to give us the context, to sort of set the scene, Acts 1 comes 40 days or so after what we looked at last week. Well, really, Acts 1 happens in that moment we looked at last week in the ascension. We've had Easter, we've had Jesus' death and his resurrection. He's taught his people, his disciples, for 40 days, and now he's getting ready to go. And have a look at the beginning of verse 3. It helps us understand that that's the context that we're in. It says, after his suffering, what's his suffering? His crucifixion. After he had suffered on the cross, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. So here he comes, he's demonstrated to them that he is alive, that it all that has happened is fulfilled. And so then he says, the second half of verse 3, this is what he wants to speak to them about. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. He's preparing them to go on this mission for this kingdom. And on one occasion, it says, verse 4, he then commands them. And in verses 4 to 5, we hear they are to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. They're going to wait in Jerusalem for this power to come. But I want to pick it up in verse 6, because the way they respond to his speaking about the kingdom of God is really important for us. Have a look at it, verse 6. So when they met together, this is the disciples, they asked Jesus, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus is about to leave. He's going to send them out, but their question reveals they have the wrong idea about the mission. Like, let me just explain the picture for you for a second. We've got 11 fellas who are fairly underwhelming individuals and have shown themselves to be that right throughout the Gospels, standing on the mountain. These are men who had hoped, who had longed for the kingdom to come, for the kingdom of Israel to come, for this thing to be restored. What they thought the kingdom was makes their question not actually that unusual, because it's not even completely wrong. They had hoped that he would come and redeem Israel. He died. He's now raised. They're like, it's happening. What had they hoped for? Well, their question reveals it. Firstly, they hoped that it would be restored, that the kingdom of Israel would be restored. They're thinking politically, they're thinking territorially, they're thinking, get the Romans out, we're going to rule this joint now. And what are they thinking of in particular? Israel. They're thinking of a national kingdom. And when? At this time. Immediate, instantaneous, they want it. But if they are to go on the mission that Jesus is about to send them on, they need to have the right idea of what that mission is all about, don't they? Now, we're not standing with Jesus on the Mount of Olives. But if we're going to join in this mission, as we're meant to be joining in this mission. If we're a follower of Jesus, this is our mission. We need to have the right idea of what the mission is all about too, don't we? Because it is so easy for us to get the wrong idea. Very, very easy. And it's not even necessarily that we get it completely wrong. But to have a misunderstanding about Jesus and his mission is so simple, or to forget what this mission is really all about. It is easy to fall into the trap of looking to Israel, of looking to our time and place, to looking to individual needs and instantaneous actions. It sounds like the beat of our culture's heart. To look to our kingdom rather than to God's kingdom, to our mission rather than Jesus' mission. And like, that can be subtle, can't it? It might even feel like it fits as we come here week in, week out, look at the scriptures, consider our lives, love our families, go to work. But really what ends up happening is Jesus' mission slowly and slowly becomes more about me and my needs. And slowly we start to say, is it time for me to get what it is that I have so longed for and desired? May Mission Month, guys. And this is the first week. It's going to be like a commissioning, a recommissioning for us today as well. Yes, I will encourage us and spur us to give. And man, imagine if we knock that thing out in the next 2 weeks. I mean, Avengers, it got 2 billion in 2 weeks. 60,000, easy, yeah? We can do it. But that should be an expression of us joining in the greatest mission that has ever been launched. A mission that we are meant to buy into, not just with our money and a little bit of our time, with our lives, because of what the mission is. You see, Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom, and he needed to give them a correction because their question showed they had a misunderstanding, didn't they? And he responds and he redirects them. Have a look at verses 7 and 8. He redirects them with his response. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." What a mission, hey? But we have to see the king, we have to see the people's purpose, we have to see the place, and we have to see the power. So firstly, let's talk about the king. Any kingdom needs a king, like somebody who's at least going to sit on the throne, yes? Somebody who's at least going to look like they've got the crown and are doing it. But this particular ruler was set there to then determine what this nation, this group of peoples, is meant to be doing. And Jesus is that king. He says, "You will be my witnesses." Now, in a moment in this story, and we looked at it last week, didn't we, with the ascension, the disciples will watch Jesus ascend in a way, and the way that he ascends is meant to show that he is Lord, that he is king. And it may seem basic, but the mission is about this king. My witnesses, he says. The mission is about Jesus being made known as king. The king, and this isn't a king who brings a rule of tyranny. We've seen this in the Gospels, that he brings peace and reconciliation to all things. He brings perfection. Like, the dream is real. The universe will be restored. But the dream is only real when it's realized in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is only found in this king. And yet, sadly today, people want the kingdom without that king, don't they? They want what Jesus has to offer without acknowledging that he is Lord, that he is the one who has ascended and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And again, that is all too easy to do, to dream up of the wonderful utopian dream that we see a perfect world. And who doesn't want that? Like, you want that, I want that. To dream and to devise plans to ensure that we can have that, and we work our collective muscle and our collective minds to bring about moral and social reform in this world. But sadly, and I say sadly, that isn't possible unless we acknowledge that the king is the king. Because this mission of bringing all of that is the king's mission. And Jesus is that king. You see, when we think about mission isn't primarily about moral reform. It's not about social reform. The mission isn't about tradition or bringing about a way of life, the church that is. But it is about the king at the end of the day. Telling people about the crucified king. Who, when we look at him, absolutely, when we look at him and we learn how it is that he reigns, what does he show us? He shows us what it means to live. He shows us what it means to love. He shows us what it means to be human as we join him in that mission. This king will bring moral and social transformation. We've got stories right throughout our church of that, don't we? For the spiritually proud, for the spiritually poor. And one day, it will all be perfected by this king because he's coming back. He says, "My witnesses." Jesus is the king. He says, "My witnesses." Because where is this king? It'd be very easy to look at this time and place and go, "Great, you're the king, but I don't see you around." Because, well, he leaves, doesn't he? And maybe there is a kingdom without the king at this time. The king can seem like he is missing from the mission, but that's why it's so important that we are his witnesses, that the witnesses are here and being his representatives. Because the ascension did happen. But the ascension also teaches us he went, but what does that mean that he went? He will return. Have a look at verse 11 of chapter 1 of Acts. They're staring up into the sky at this point, and these two men dressed in white, and I said last week in the evening when I preached that, that's not because they've got good fashion sense. This is angels. They're not ahead of their time. Verse 11, "Men of Galilee," they said, these angels, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. The same way. That's important. The same Jesus, so the king, will come back in the same way. What is that same way? Matthew 24, 30 tells us. He will come on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. 1 Thessalonians 4 describes his coming like a kingly procession where he comes rolling in with all this might and glory and power. Revelation 1, 7 tells us that every single eye is going to then see this. And Philippians 2 really should be an impetus for mission as well, because this king will come and every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. People need to know this, because at that point, the way it's written, they're going to do it willingly or unwillingly. It doesn't matter, because he is the king. And so this mission must roll out. This mission must happen so that people know that Jesus is king and his reign and rule of peace and reconciliation can come. How? Well, it's by his people witnessing to his gospel, isn't it? Because then we get his people. You are to be my witnesses, he says. The people that are standing there, these disciples, are to witness. You are witnesses. Witnesses. What is this idea of witnessing all about? Well, if this gives you an indication, I witnessed something incredible this week. And you probably wouldn't believe it if it wasn't for me and a couple of others having saw it. Ange wore shorts on a Tuesday. Like, I could not believe it. There they were, his legs. His legs, right there. Mind you, they were in shoes the same as mine, which he got for 50% off, and he let me know about that. But that is an incredible thing to see. Not the legs, but that on Tuesday, he was wearing shorts. Maybe on a Wednesday. Anyway, let's move on. Because the idea there is that what I saw was what I witnessed, and I was able to pass it on to you all, and I hope you believe me. And if you don't, there's other people who witnessed it too. Disciples witnessed the events. They were eyewitnesses. And that is emphasized right throughout this beginning of Acts 1. Like verse 3, proofs that he was alive. He did stuff in their presence. Verse 9, before their eyes, from their sight, the ascension was happening. And verse 10, they were looking. Luke wants to emphasize they saw this stuff. Like a witness is one who sees it and is able to testify to that, aren't they? And Luke is making sure we see that. They saw this. And then when they get Matthias in, because Judas did his Judas act, one of the requirements, verse 22, you can flip the page if it's on that or just look. Verse 22 of chapter 1 of Acts, one of the requirements was that he had been with them the whole time the Lord was with them teaching. They witnessed this stuff. They were witnesses of all that Jesus had said and done that showed he is the king. But they were also meant to be witnesses. Did you see that? You will be my witnesses. It's not like just see it, that's it. You are the ones that are going to go and tell everybody, Ange wore shorts on Tuesday. Make sure everybody knows, well, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is like, tell everyone what you've seen. Tell everyone this incredible news. They have to know. Now, we too are witnesses. Not seeing, we haven't seen in the same way that the disciples have, but because of the Gospels and because of what's revealed to us, we are to be witnesses, to tell. Because if we have heard their witness, and many of you say you've heard it, many of you say you believe it, you know that Jesus is King. You're going to celebrate that today together. And if you know that, that is incredible news, isn't it? And when we have good news, what do we do with it? Well, we witness. When we witness something incredible, we tell. Like when there's an engagement, a birth, those big moments in our lives, we want to share it with people. I mean, we brag about our favorite sporting teams, rave about a new restaurant or cafe, you got to go. The latest diet, health, you just got to talk to me for a couple of months, you know, I'm on something new. What's going on with our families, our kids, our grandkids, their achievements? Passionately, we will debate political issues for sure. Even almost as passionately as we debate that next Netflix series that we like or don't like, or that movie or show, we tell about good news. We witness. Our lives and our words become a witness to what we think is worth praising, what we think is worth drawing attention to, don't they? What is worth witnessing to. Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. That's the call, Christian, your whole life. The people of the kingdom are about their king and his mission. And there is a particular message that we're meant to be proclaiming, isn't there? A message that we're going to remind one another of as we jump around this table later and eat the bread, drink the juice, remember his body and his blood sacrificed for us. We call it the gospel. Now, we're not going to look at this in the morning service. In the evening service, we're jumping into a series in Acts. But if you keep journeying in Acts, you watch this 11 underwhelming individuals witness. You watch them do it. You read it, you hear it, and you notice what they'll do. They will tell the gospel in ways that people will understand it. The apostles will make sure that when they share the message that Jesus is king, people will actually understand it. So like as the disciples go to Jerusalem, you know what they do? They're going to Jews, and so they tie it in with the beautiful salvation story that is flowing out of the Old Testament scriptures. Peter quotes it and shows it, and he points to it and says, here is your king, the one you've been waiting for. But then when Paul goes to Athens, where they're Greeks, and they think they know it all, because they've got all this high-end philosophy stuff going on, he points out, well, actually, you've got some things missing here because you've even got a God over here that you're making sure you cover it, but you don't even know what their name is. I'm going to show you who the real king is, who the real spiritual leader is. So they adjust their message to ensure it's the same message, guys. Jesus is king, but they do it in a way that ensures that people can understand it. And you've got to know, that's why we do much of what we do in May Mission Month. While we support the work in Southeast Asia where David and Carol's Education Foundation is going to roll out. In PNG, the training, you heard Chris talk about before, it's like a Bible college there that's meant to be sending people into Papua New Guinea, into Southeast Asia, as they understand how to share it with their own people. We want to see the Yao people read the Bible in their own language, get it translated into their local language. We want more and more Indigenous leaders, preachers and teachers themselves preaching the gospel in their own language. Themselves helping others to witness so that Indigenous people all across this land know that Jesus is King. Now, they don't change the message. The message is the same. But the way that they do it in order that people can understand. And I have to say, that's the same for us too. We can't expect anymore that we can just go and say, Jesus is King, and people are going to understand what we're saying. If we want to proclaim it, witness to it, we need to understand how it is that this message is going to impact our friends. Less and less is it a given that this Bible and what's in it is going to be understood by your peers. We kind of need to learn from our missionaries, and this month's a good opportunity for us to consider how it is that they do it. Find ways to get into the lives of our people. Many missionaries go overseas as an opportunity just to do what you guys get to do every single day so they can share the gospel. We've got to understand their loves, their desires, the very foundations so that when we get alongside them, they start to look at us. They start to listen to us. So that the people of the kingdom begin to witness into the very lives of these other people that Jesus Christ is King. So the people of this kingdom can start to tell them the wonderful message of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. People need to hear this, guys. Much, much more than they need to know the end-to-end game. And they need to hear it in places where the gospel isn't or has never been. Why? Well, that's the mission according to the king, isn't it? Have a look at the place. That's the very next thing he goes on to in verse 8. He says, it's to go out. You are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, do you remember their misunderstanding? Their misunderstanding, it was like local, political, territorial. No, this isn't just about Israel. Now, if they were really being very narrow, they would have heard Jerusalem and Judea being like, yes, great. Here's Samaria. No. Why would they need to know about this restoration? And the ends of the earth, what's that all about? They would have had a subtle misunderstanding at that point. And I get it. When you think kingdom, you often think territorial, your little kingdom, my little domain. But this was a spiritual thing. Not just about one people, but all people. Do you remember when Jesus was chatting to Nicodemus? Jesus shows the borders of this kingdom at that point. And Nicodemus didn't get it. He gets it after the resurrection, I reckon. But Jesus said, for whoever would believe in me, they're the ones that inherit eternal life. They're the ones that are part of the kingdom. You see, the place of this mission then is ever expanding. In Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so we need to remember this isn't just a this South Sydney region thing. Our little patch. In fact, if it was about a small location, we would never have heard it. Because the mission, where did the mission start? Jerusalem. Where are we? Australia, mate. This is the ends of the earth. It's even gone to Cronulla. Like, it is all that way out. Let me just try this quickly. This might flop completely, but I'm going to try an A to Z sort of thing. I might skip a few things. But if you are from a country originally, you or even you're a second generation, your country starts with A, put your hand up. Okay, somebody shout out which country that is. Australia, mate. Any others? Shout it out if it's not Australia. Where? Shout. Argentina, fantastic. B, anything from B? B, C, D, put your hand up if you're anything. Come on, this has got to work. E, where's E? England. Yeah, we aren't going to talk about that. No, yes, E. Egypt, England, Argentina, Australia. China. Anything else? Colombia. Listen to this. Germany. India. Macedonia. All right, you guys keep going. You can choose whatever it is. Just yell it out. Where else? Kenya. Yes, Dorothy. Sorry? Wales. You hearing this? The ends of the earth are here. In this very building already. Isn't it incredible where the mission has gone? But we want to continue to do that because there are still people and places that haven't heard. You could keep going through that alphabet. You could name every nation and there'll be somewhere where the gospel has not gone. What an incredible mission that we are a part of. Reaching the very ends. This is a massive vision. May mission helps us to remember that, doesn't it? Because we have a particular focus on unreached people groups, don't we? We have a particular focus to see the gospel go to places where it's never been before. And your money and your support and your prayer helps that happen so that other people maybe one day are in this room saying, yeah, that's me. I know Jesus because the gospel has gone to those places in Southeast Asia, in Africa, in the Middle East. But don't forget your part because there are places right here that are like the ends of the earth. There are, where the gospel has not really reached. I feel that way when I go to training on a Thursday night and chat with the boys down there. The gospel has not reached. That's like the ends of the earth a lot of the time. When I walk down to Riverwood Plaza or maybe on a day off drive to Cronulla, you talk about the difference between the ends of the earth. Yeah, they're like different worlds. When I catch up with old friends or family and hear the way they speak, the gospel's not there. Have a coffee in just a local cafe around here, see the regulars and hear what it is that their heart's about. Talk to the owners. Sit on a train. The ends of the earth are here, aren't they? Like, where are your places? Where is it that you have been sent to the very ends of the earth to proclaim this mission story that Jesus is king? Because there is a king, you are the people, and the places are there. This is such a great mission, isn't it? But it's a pretty big one. Thank God he powers this thing. Because it can feel like a massive task, and it can feel like it is too much to ask. When me? I'm meant to be that person? Remember the picture. 11 very underwhelming fellas standing on a mountain. 11. A pretty pathetic picture the way it started. But by chapter 2, they're over 3,000. Do you know why? Well, there's a power. See, often our attempts, what we do, we feel like we're going to fail. But today, as we launch a mission appeal to help reach people in Southeast Asia, Africa, the Middle East, all throughout Australia, in every one of your lives, $60,000 is a lot. It is. I think we're going to do it. But none of this will or can happen without God's power. The power the King promised. The power that has now come because he is here. And so praise God that he promised the Spirit. Praise God that he sent the Spirit. Praise God the Spirit continues to do his work today. Have a look at verse 8 again. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. They receive power to do the very task they're called to. Now you only have to read a little bit further. 10 days later, the Spirit came at Pentecost. And he came with power and he enabled this pretty pathetic bunch of individuals to continue a mission that means that many of you just put your hands up from nations right across the globe. That's why you're in this room, because God did this from there till now. But we've got to keep going. To continue the mission that continues today, we are empowered by this same Holy Spirit. We've got to know we can't do that alone, but this month then, pray and ask God that he might continue to empower his people in every place. yours, theirs. Pray that the Holy Spirit empowers all of our missionaries, not just the ones we're supporting this month. Pray that the Holy Spirit empowers you. Pray that this might be a month where our witness isn't only done by others that we support, that we give money to, but that this building changes, that new people come in here because we are all on this incredible mission. All the people of the kingdom. So this isn't just a month of mission, but we, the people, serve the King in the places that we are, empowered by the Holy Spirit for a lifetime, joining in the mission of the kingdom of God. Are you with me? I really hope so. Let's show that this month as we pray, as we give, as we pursue this wonderful, wonderful vision of the kingdom. Let me pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ has set off and continues to champion now through his people. Thank you that he is the King, that in a moment we will take the bread and we'll take the juice and remember the wonderful way that our King showed the way in sacrificing himself to bring peace and reconciliation to the earth. Please, Lord, help us to be the people you've called us to be your witnesses, to know this truth and to share it with others. Please, Lord, reach those places that have never heard the gospel. May it go out powerfully and may it transform people. And please, Lord, make us those people as well that know those places that need to hear your wonderful saving word. Empower us, we pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. May he come in power, enabling us to do all that it is you've called us to, that your name may receive glory, praise, and honor, that this whole world will know that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.